going anywhere soon.
They're not.
They're going to play Louisville in Orlando next year, mm-hmm. and they're going to play Duke in Atlanta.
Yeah. So that's just not, to me, if I was on that committee,
but
I would start noticing
Ohio
that.
State.
LSU.
Is it going anywhere?
LSU's going to Washington, aren't they? Or LSU's
LSU
got a big game.
LSU is, in a couple of years, they're going to Texas.
Texas. That's
and
a traditional
they're going to UCLA.
That's traveling.
Hate to say it, but if you want good football from a profit perspective, especially when having weeks to game plan, saving is the answer.
Yeah.
Fun, buddy. What's going on with the news?
I know, man. Oh, nothing this weekend. I am going to be Washita Brewing, you know, serving up beers and hanging out and doing that kind of stuff all weekend. So if you want to check out any good beer, come by and see me.
Tabor, great stuff as always.
Oh.
Alabama will be 5 tonight. Who's taking bets?
I can't wait to see this tonight.
888-99-3772. That's the number for tomorrow.
That's it.
Bleed Tech Blue coming up next. They'll get you up to date on the Louisiana Tech Bowl situation. I think they're in. I can't wait to hear what the guys say. For, what's your name, Kevo? For Tabor. I'm Sean Fox. Same time tomorrow. We'll do it again.
The Sports Company with Sean Fox has been presented by Bud Light. Join the team every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. for The Sports Company on 97.7.
I'll never forget that moment.
Never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
It started with a phone call.
I got the text when I was at work.
My first call up ever as a member of the National Guard. This was it, the real deal.
When we got to the armory, they briefed us on the wildfires, how they were getting dangerously close to homes.
It was amazing to be a part of this massive operation. Helicopters were going up with huge buckets to drop water on the fires.
Some of the guys in the unit were preparing for firefighting with local fire crews.
We went out in Humvees to help with the evacuations.
At that moment, I got my first taste of just how important the Guard is to my community.
See how the Guard can be an important part of your life at NationalGuard.com. Discover what it means to be a citizen soldier, to serve locally as well as globally. Look into the benefits, including career skills and money for college. Take a moment. Go to NationalGuard.com today.
Sponsored by the Louisiana National Guard, aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed and Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Rustin Monroe, 97.7.
It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show is also brought to you by O'Neill Gas, Brister's Smokehouse, Brennan Dodd, Dairy Queen, Ideal Portable Buildings, and Scott's Seafood. Text us on the Fairway Carts text line at 888-993-7762. Here's your host, Ben Carlisle.
Welcome in to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm your host, Ben Carlisle, joined once again in studio by Sutton Davison, Louisiana Tech. Bowl eligible, 6 wins on the season. Bulldogs bowl eligible for a fourth consecutive season after a 20-6 victory over UTSA Saturday night inside the friendly confines of Joe Ice Stadium. Welcome in, Sutton.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. It's good to be here, man. It's a fun day to be a Tech fan. I think everyone's excited to find out where the Bulldogs will be playing come Christmas time. And I know we're gonna spin it around and talk to a bunch of folks and figure it out ourselves.
Yeah, coming up at 6:30, actually just touching a little more on the bowl situation. We'll talk to Roy Lang from the Shreveport Times. He's had a lot of positive, a lot of really good insight on the I-Bowl. I think the I-Bowl in Shreveport's a bowl that many national writers, people that follow college football nationally, that's where they think the Bulldogs are going to end up. So it'll be good for us to catch up with an old Shreveport native, Roy Lang, to see what his thoughts are.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we'll obviously get into this later, but the Independence Bowl would be a huge success after the season that Tech had. to have a place just 70 miles down the road where Bulldog fans can travel and possibly play a perennial powerhouse program like a Florida State would be a huge victory for this program after a tough 6-6 season.
Absolutely, and you mentioned Florida State. I think that, for me, is the dream matchup.
For sure.
Seeing Tech play Florida State, I know I've talked to a couple of guys on some bowl committees around the country just with a few connections that I have, and they're really of the opinion that if Tech does play in Florida State in Shreveport, that game could possibly end up in a sellout, which you and I have both seen it firsthand for many, many years. The eyeballs really struggled from an attendance standpoint to fill up that stadium. So if that is what the eyeball ends up with, I don't think they could ask for anything better as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And the eyeball has struggled lately with weather, too. It feels like every year it comes down to game time and it's pouring down rain or sleeting or something along those lines. So it would be really fun to have 45,000 strong in Shreveport, make a big weekend out of it, and road trip just 70 miles. A lot of Tech fans in Shreveport anyway, so it would be really cool to play a team like Jimbo Fisher's Florida State Seminoles in Shreveport. I know a lot of stuff is going to have to happen for that to work out, but I know we'll get into bowl projections a little later and talk to Roy a little more about what might, you know, spin around that carousel. But speaking of not an electric atmosphere and speaking of not a sellout, Louisiana Tech pulled off that coveted sixth win on Saturday with a win over UTSA in Joe A. Stadium. Not many folks on hand to see that one, but it was a great defensive performance by the Bulldogs, one that we've been waiting for all year.
You took the quote right out of my hands. How about the performance of Blake Baker's Bulldog defense? I think it was 9 plays UTSA had inside the Tech 3-yard line. They come away with no touchdowns. The Tech defense played with an attitude throughout the night.
Oh, absolutely, and we've been critical of the defense all season long, as we have with a lot of Tech's team. But you mentioned it, Blake Baker did an amazing job of rallying those guys and holding a UTSA offense that has had some success this year to a measly 6 points. And I thought the Louisiana Tech defense played by far its best game of the season.
Yeah, 6 points, 201 yards, senior Russell Ferris had a career-high 13 tackles. He was named the Conference USA Defensive Player of the Week, something that's rightfully deserved. I think he probably played his best game as a Bulldog. He just seemed to be flying around, and I was impressed with all aspects of the defense. You look up front, Jalen Ferguson, we can say he showed up for the first time in a long time, had a sack and a half in the first quarter. Russell Ferris played great at linebacker. Davon Washington had a great game at linebacker. And then in the secondary, Darrell Lewis and Amik Robertson with 2 big interceptions late.
Yeah, it was an all-around just awesome effort from those guys on the defensive side of the ball. I know we'll touch on that in the next segment. But lots of stuff happening in the college football world lately. I know it's very highly publicized what's going on in Knoxville at Tennessee. We'll get into that a little bit. And then also the coaching carousel is just a spinning. I mean, guys are losing jobs. Guys are putting their names in the hats for new ones. And we'll get into some of those potential replacements at some of these major coaching vacancies across the country.
Yeah, and one thing you mentioned, coaching vacancies. Rice let go of their head coach, David Bailiff. He had a very nice run at Rice for many, many years. I know he's a good friend of Skip Holtz's. And did a good job with that Rice program. You look at how they've fared over the last couple of years. I know they only won 1 game this year. I think it's just time for a new voice at Rice. Rice and UTEP both looking for a coach. We'll talk about some potential candidates for that job. I don't think that they'll be lacking quality candidates. I saw that Todd Graham was let go at Arizona State, who is actually a former Rice coach. So he could potentially be headed down there. The story in Knoxville is just bonkers. We'll get into that. And then there's just many, many coaching vacancies around the country that, who knows, maybe we have a Derek Dooley situation that happens, maybe 2-3 weeks from now where Tech could possibly be impacted by the coaching carousel.
Yeah, absolutely. And it'll be interesting to see what happens. I know I read something today about the situation in Knoxville that basically said it'll either go down as the day that saves the program forever or a day that sets the program back 10 years. But it's one that is a controversial decision, to say the least, but one that could either work out in favor of that program or one that could literally set that program on a course, something like a Penn State type situation where it's tough to recover, or, you know, like we're seeing at Ole Miss today. So we'll get into that a little later. Dunkin' Dogs in action this week after a short break after the Cancun Classic, which they won.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely. It was awesome to see Louisiana Tech walk into an international tournament, one that situations that they haven't always been super successful in. But
knock off George Mason the first night.
Yeah, and everyone knows George Mason's name for the Final Four run they made almost 10 years ago, actually a little over 10 years ago. And Louisiana Tech took care of business, 77-64 victory over the Patriots. I know Coach Eric Conkle and Tony Skin both used to be involved with the George Mason program, so probably a fun one there in Cancun getting a victory over their old stomping grounds.
Yeah, and I don't think the George Mason program's anywhere near where they were when they did make that Final Four run, but a quality Atlantic 10 program nonetheless that I think you'll see them compete really well in their conference. We've talked about it, how Tech's non-conference schedule has turned out to be of really good quality. After that victory over George Mason, the Dunkin' Dogs played Evansville the next night and down a majority of the game before perhaps one of the wildest plays, you know, I've seen in college basketball quite a while, where Jalen Harris takes a three from the wing, he airballs it. Senior Jacoby Boykins runs the ball down on the baseline and kicks it to Derek Jean, who buries a three with 0.7 seconds to go to give Tech a 63-61 win.
Yeah,
and keep the Dogs undefeated.
Oh, for sure. Derek Jean just has a knack for making those big plays at the end of games. I know we've seen him heave a couple of game winners over the course of his two short years, but Derek Jean's a guy that you got to give a lot of credit to. You know, comes in, starts every game last year. This year, he's playing off the bench behind sophomore phenom Daquan Bracey, and really has stepped up into that support role and played really valuable minutes when he's been in there. And obviously, can't say enough about Jacoby Boykins and saving that ball going out of bounds. I mean, I think, you know, him, Jalen Harris, Daquan Bracey, and guys like Derek Jean, who have had a lot of game experience, are what make this team really tough to beat. They're deep everywhere on the floor, and they can bring in guys like Jean late in the game, who can be a guy who can take a game-winning shot and be relied on to bury it.
Yeah, and here we are, Tech's 5-0, you know, 2-3 weeks into the season. We have a text from Tyler on the Fairway Carts hotline. As always, you can text us or call us on the Fairway Carts hotline at 1-888-993-7762. We would love to hear from you. You know, your thoughts on the Bulldogs' victory over UTSA, or like Tyler, ask us a question about the Dunkin' Dogs. His question tonight, have not gotten to watch the Dunkin' Dogs this year, but is this team a legit contender tomorrow when they go on the road to Tuscaloosa against a quality Alabama squad?
Yeah, well, Tyler, we'll get into more of that a little bit later. There's a lot to talk about with this Alabama squad, but an incredibly talented team. I'll say this before we go to our first break. This is a Louisiana Tech team that is extremely talented. Arguably the best 1-2-3 guards in the conference, all on the same team.
I think without a doubt.
All on the same team with Daquan Bracey, Jalen Harris, Jacoby Boykins. That's the best backcourt in the conference, and it's not even close. And so if this team can continue to shoot well from beyond the arc, can continue to get to the free throw line and make free throws, and if Janiah White and those guys can continue to provide some sort of defense down low. I know not the biggest front court, but guys who can really make a difference down there. Then this is a team that we could see have a lot of success. Now, is it going to be enough to be Avery Johnson's Alabama Crimson Tide?
They're good.
They haven't always been good, but they're good this year. I know we'll talk a lot more about Colin Sexton, their star freshman point guard, arguably a 2018 lottery pick. We'll talk more about him and the numbers he's putting up this year. Another crazy game for them last week, too. But, Tyler, to answer your question, I think this team has as good of a chance as any to go into Tuscaloosa and come out with a win.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And another quick nugget before we get to a break. Sutton mentioned that, you know, it was a rough crowd Saturday night against Joe Ice Stadium, but that was a big victory over UTSA, not only from a bowl standpoint, getting Tech to 6-6 overall. Tech was actually able to secure JUCO linebacker commit from Trinity Valley Community College, Brandon Floyd, really mature kid. He'll play the Will linebacker or the Sam linebacker spot that are occupied by Davon Washington and Demarion King this year. I know the Tech coaches are extremely excited. 6'2", 225 pounds, a nice pickup for the Bulldogs as we get closer and closer to the early signing period that begins on December 20th. So if you're looking for the latest recruiting information, some more on Brandon Floyd, his story, where he comes from, be sure to join us at BleedTechBlue.com. It's only $9.95 a month. You're not going to find a better deal out there. We have it covered top to bottom. The Tech Bowl situation, the Dunkin' Dogs. We'll talk a little bit later. Tommy McClellan met with the media today about the bowl situation. We have video of that press conference. So join us, BleedTechBlue.com. But coming up after the break, we're going to have a full recap of Louisiana Tech's 20-6 victory. And we'll be back right after this break. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
Walpole Tire and Service has been a proud Tech supporter for over 60 years. When the Bulldogs hit the field this weekend, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the knowledgeable staff at Walpole get you safely to and from the game with brake repair, alignments, and computer diagnostics. Plus, all your major brands of tires, including Michelin and BF Goodrich. Walpole Tire and Service Superstores, a name you can trust. Ruston, West Monroe. Or visit walpoletire.com.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
For years, serious hunters around here have gotten close to that big buck on a Bad Boy Buggy from Fairway Carts in Minden. Well, Bad Boy Buggy has a new name, Textron Off-Road, still committed to providing the same power, range, and stealth you demand. Textron Off-Road side-by-sides are whisper quiet, have plenty of distance for wherever you hunt, excellent steering, and deliver a great ride. Hey, you just need to come test ride one to see for yourself. And you can count on Fairway Carts to have the selection you want and always make you a great deal. 2018 models are rolling in, so remaining 17s are priced to move with big rebates and low interest financing with approved credit. Talk with Larry about a sweet Fairway Carts deal on the one you want most and find out how much you'll save. All the reasons you want a Bad Boy Buggy now wrapped up in a new name, Textron Off-Road. Trailer yours home from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 800-960-CART or go to fairwaycarts.net.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7. We're talking about Louisiana Tech bowl eligible at 6-6, a 20-6 victory over UTSA inside Joe Ia Stadium this weekend. One where the Louisiana Tech defense played arguably their best game of the year. Really fun to see that squad come together and a young team, a young defensive side of the ball, play really well. Ben, I know we were impressed with the defense. Let's get to it. Let's get a recap of UTSA and start us off talking about this defense.
Yeah, the Tech defense played well throughout the night. I know you talked about it last week in our short podcast that we did. We were hoping to see Tech start fast, and that's just what they did. Defense comes out in that first series. Jalen Ferguson with a big sack of Dalton Sturm on first down on their opening drive. They end up having to punt the ball back to Tech, and Tech drives it 80 yards, 11 plays before Jamar Smith, who we'll get to it in a minute, didn't play his best game as a Bulldog, but did just enough. He punches it in from 1 yard out to give Tech a 7-0 victory. I know you and I were talking about that first drive. It was definitely aided by some penalties that UTSA had.
Yeah, well, first, I was excited to see Tech win the toss and defer. I think that set the tone really nicely. I know this is, when a team struggles to start games offensively, a lot of times the reaction can be, let's get the ball and let's right the ship right away off the bat. And I think this Tech team really did the right thing deferring to the second half. I know we've talked ad nauseum about them coming out and giving up the kickoff return in the third quarter, or giving up a long drive to start the third quarter. I thought it was huge for them to catch their breath, compose themselves, allow their defense to play well to start off, and then, like you mentioned, Jamar marches them down and runs a one-yard touchdown after an 80-yard, 11-play drive. And then it allowed Tech to get that ball back after the half, which ended up being huge.
Well, how about that play? Just going back to that first drive real quick, Jamar scrambles out to the right side and makes the 33-yard throw down the sideline to Rashid Bonnet. I thought that play by Jamar was – it might have been one of his best plays of the year. You saw him get outside the pocket. He didn't panic. Bonnet, we've talked time and time again where the Tech receivers have struggled to come back to the quarterback, and he came back and Smith threw a strike down that right sideline.
Yeah, Bonnet's got his own woes. He doesn't always have the most sure hands, but he is without a doubt Jamar's favorite receiver and one that he's really come to rely on out there on the outside. Now, Jamar – isn't a guy that's going to really extend plays all that well. He tends to panic a little bit when the pocket collapses on him. But I thought he did a really nice job, especially on that first drive, which, like you mentioned, was aided a little by penalties. But settled in throughout the game and really, started to go through progressions a little better and hit those open receivers. I know we saw him make some really poor throws, but also some nice throws as well down the stretch.
Yeah, and we talked about this, last week in our podcast. It was such going to be a really crucial possession-by-possession game when you look at how UTSA operates offensively. They love to possess the ball with long drives. You look at their first-half drives. Tech did a nice job outside of one 16-play drive that they had where Tech stood tall in the red zone, forced a missed field goal. Tech did a really nice job of keeping their offense off the field, but nonetheless, Holtz mentioned it post-game, Tech only had four possessions in the first half, and it's really difficult to create a lot of offensive rhythm, and it was really a bland first half. Tech led 10-0 at the break, but it didn't feel like it was 10-0. It felt like a much closer game than it really was.
Yeah, and I think, like we mentioned, the Tech defense playing the way they did really help that feel that way. I know the Tech offense has struggled all year, and that's not something that's a surprise. That's something that's new news or anything.
It's who they are this year, really.
Yeah, it really is. And it's honestly, it's lick your wounds and try and fight another possession. That's what it is. And, I think we've kind of gotten into this mode of let's match and let's, if you give up a touchdown, you got to go get it back because it's going to happen. But
and with this offense, it's difficult.
It's not a team that can play from behind.
Exactly. It's difficult to, chase 14, 17 points.
Right, exactly.
Especially with an offensive line that we'll talk about here in a sec have been massively improved in the last three games, but they can struggle at times in pass protection. So you're spot on. Tech can't be chasing a lot of points this year.
Yeah, and who's been a huge factor in helping that is Boston Scott. I mean, he's
what a game he had.
He's come on so strong in these last couple of weeks. Obviously, he's one of the leaders of this Tech team. I mean, he said the prayer before the game. He gave the invocation.
What more could you want?
I mean, he's a leader in that locker room. There's no question. But he really has played phenomenally. I know we talked about it during the game. It's sometimes pretty frustrating the way that they set him up for some runs. I know that the delayed handoffs and the counter plays don't always work the best when your O-line isn't playing its best. You've got to be able to protect for those plays to be able to develop. But Boston Scott has done a phenomenal job of keeping plays alive, finding holes, and cutting it upfield and picking up first downs, which extend drives when your quarterback is struggling.
Yeah, and I know statistics don't matter in the grand scheme of things, but Boston Scott, 67 yards from 1,000. That's one reason I'd like to see him get an opportunity just to go over that 1,000-yard mark. It's kind of a milestone for running backs.
Absolutely.
And he's earned it throughout his career.
No question.
Looking at the second half of this game, you mentioned Tech receiving the opening possession of the second half. Jamar makes a bad throw on second down for an interception. What was really going through your mind after he makes that throw? I think the big safety Gaines returns it to the Tech 13-yard line. I really thought we had a ball game on our hands at that point.
Well, it's a little of the here we go again, and a little bit of the here we go coming out of the half, starting slow. And you know what? I think that, like you mentioned, when good teams have units in place that can pick up the slack when other units don't play well. For instance, when the offense struggles, you got to have a defense that can get off the field and get your offense back out there. When the defense is struggling, you got to have an offense that can score points and get out in front of people. The other night, we saw firsthand how important it is for a defense to be able to play well when your offense is struggling. I know we'll talk about this in a minute, but late in that game, there were so many opportunities for UTSA to win that football game inside the 5-yard line, and Tech comes up with some massive stops that literally saved their season.
That Tech defense was phenomenal. After that interception, UTSA quickly gets it down to the 1-yard line, and Tech just stones them 3 straight downs.
And didn't they miss the field goal?
No, they made that one.
Made that one.
Yeah, they got it to a 10-3 ball game, and it was really interesting. After that field goal, I felt like UTSA, you know, you can say they had momentum. Tech did stuff them, but they decided to go with the sky kick. Tech ends up starting on their 40-yard line, only has to go 24 yards. And Skip Holtz, he said all year how good Jonathan Barnes is. We've seen it for 4 years. He connects on a 53-yard field goal in his final game inside the Joe to give Tech a 13-3 lead, which at that point, with the way the defense was playing, really put that game away, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I mean, there were moments late in the game where you maybe felt like it had the opportunity to slip away. But
well, the Teddy Veal fumble.
The Teddy Veal fumble kind of gave this feeling of, uh-oh, are we going to lose by 1 point again? Is it going to end up 14-13? And then, you know, you have the defense come up the way they did. I know you mentioned Amik Robertson and
Daryl Lewis,
excuse me, come up with huge interceptions there late to seal it. But before we get to our next break, we've got it on here in the studio. Speaking of college football, the top four, the college football playoff has just been released. And for the first time in I don't know how long, the Alabama Crimson Tide are not included in the college football playoff.
After their loss to Auburn.
Yeah, you got Clemson at number one, Auburn at number two after a huge win, like you mentioned, in the Iron Bowl, Wisconsin at four, and Oklahoma playing them at number three. So Alabama left out of the college football playoff. What are your thoughts there, Ben?
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting final week. When you look at all the conference championships coming up, Clemson will play Miami, who's ranked seventh. Auburn will play Georgia, who's ranked sixth. Wisconsin will play Ohio State, who's the second-ranked two-loss team at number eight. And then Oklahoma will play TCU, who's outside the top ten. The college football playoff, it brings so much excitement. We're not relying on the BCS polls, the computers. Personally, I'm rooting for chaos. I'd love to see Miami win. I'd love to see Georgia win. I'd love to see Ohio State win. I'd love to see TCU beat Oklahoma. Four upsets of the top four teams would be complete pandemonium. It might get us to that 8-team playoff that, you know, I know I feel is the best, where you could, you know, pick the two top six teams, maybe go with two wild cards, maybe the top G5 team, just to give a chance to the little guy to win a national championship. But it's interesting to see Alabama outside that top five. I know it's a place that Nick Saban's not used to seeing his team.
Yeah, and I root for guys like Nick Saban. I root for winners. I like perennial winners. I mean, it's tough for me to say this as a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, but I like Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and what they do because they win.
Well, it's nice to see the process, diligence that they go through each week.
And when you have a legend like Nick Saban, you got to root for him. But I will say, it is pretty nice to see someone else get a chance and to realize Alabama's human. And, you know, one loss doesn't always secure you a spot if you're Alabama.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to be interesting to see how the final week plays out. Tech doesn't have a game this week. That's really why we wanted to talk a little bit about the college football playoff. It's fun just to be a fan of college football. There's nothing better than, you know, Saturdays in the fall in the South, where it's just, you just lock down and you watch some college football, and we get to see it every week. The performance of Auburn, Gus Malzahn, what he's doing there.
Yep.
That victory over Alabama, quite frankly, probably saved him from moving towards Arkansas, being a native of Springdale, Arkansas. So it's just crazy to see what happens on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll say this, one of the, you know, not necessarily the bell cow games, that was probably the best game I saw all week, was the Central Florida-South Florida game. I know.
Oh. Scott Frost. It was Frost, the best game of the weekend.
Scott Frost, what he's doing at Central Florida, a winless team 2 years ago, to have them in a place where they can play in one of those top four, you know, bowls is amazing. And then Charlie Strong, you know, picking up a lot of slack there at South Florida after a tough go at Texas. That was an amazing game.
Yeah, that was one heck of a game for sure. Just all across the country, rivalry weekend. There's nothing better than rivalry weekend. UTSA continues to want to be Tech's rival, but Tech is still their daddy. I think Tech's 5-1. They've won four straight over the Roadrunners.
And they probably wish we would come to San Antonio at some point.
Hey, same with us. We wish we wouldn't have to go to UAB every week, every year.
Yeah, every week just about. It feels like.
Might as well.
Hey, well, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we will talk to Roy Lang of the Shreveport Times about some possible bowl projections for the Bulldogs, Independence Bowl, where that all sits. So you won't want to miss that. But keep it locked right here on Sports Talk 97.7. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We'll be right back.
Our Black Friday sales event is coming early and will last all month long for incredible model year-end savings at Brennan Dodge. 17 Jeep Renegade is only $18,900. 17 Grand Caravan is only $19,900. 17 Challenger SXT is only $23,900. And save $10,000 on 17 Ram 2500 Crew Laramie 4x4. Don't miss the Black Friday sales event with our model year-end closeout pricing. They'll go fast, so hurry in to Brennan Dodge in Ruston.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank, banking on a first-name basis. Uncommon, people, service, and convenience. Uncommon, dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank, beyond banking, with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank, the uncommon bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat, and you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
Yep, it's hunting season, and you think it's too late to get that new deer stand. Hey, at Ideal Portable Buildings and Trailer Sales, it's never too late. Get a custom-built box stand from Ideal, exactly like you want it, and get a real good price on it, too. Plus, Ideal has the right utility trailer for any hauling you need to do. Haul it, cover it, or store it. Ideal Portable Buildings and Trailer Sales. 699-9426. 699-9426.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We're joined now on the Fairway Cards Hotline by Shreveport Times sports editor Roy Lang III. Roy, how you doing tonight?
Pretty good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, let's get right into it. We pretty much have one thing and one thing only to talk about, and that's Louisiana Tech and their bowl scenario as it pertains largely to the Independence Bowl in Shreveport. I know we'll talk about a couple other bowls as well, but let's get things started. What have you heard from the powers that be on a Louisiana Tech to the Independence Bowl scenario? Is it likely? Is it less likely? And what could we be seeing in the coming weeks as far as getting Louisiana Tech to Shreveport?
Up until a couple of weeks ago, I would have thought it was very likely. And now with 10 Conference USA teams eligible and the way the other side, the ACC, might work out, I'm not going to say it's unlikely, but I think it's sort of middle of the road. And the reason I say that is because I think the matchup in Shreveport could largely be influenced by what ACC team comes to Shreveport. And if somehow Shreveport was able to get Florida State, which of course still has to beat ULM this week, which I think everybody assumes is going to happen, they could actually drop into Shreveport's slot, which would then make it much more attractive for, let's say, a FAU team. You know, the winner of Conference USA Championship game gets to pick where they want to go. And I don't think Shreveport would be on FAU's radar whatsoever, especially with Lane Kiffin, unless the Seminoles were in Shreveport. Then I could definitely see Lane Kiffin saying, hey, we want to go to Shreveport and play play Florida State, you know, especially if Jimbo Fisher somehow leaves. I think it would be a great opportunity for them. So that's one scenario that certainly would lock Louisiana Tech out of it. Assuming FAU isn't in the mix, you know, the biggest hurdles for Louisiana Tech are North Texas and Southern Miss. The regional matchup makes sense for both of those schools. You know, obviously New Orleans would be in the mix too for both of those teams. I would just think if both Southern Miss and North Texas pass, I don't see how Louisiana Tech wouldn't be the team to treat for.
And Roy, you know, you look all the way back to 2012. It's been talked about ad nauseum. You know, whether Tech turned it down, whether the eyeball officials didn't wait long enough on Tech. All that's a moot point. Five right. years later. From your point of view, is there any bad blood between the eyeball committee and Louisiana Tech, or all the new faces on both sides, have they been really able to mend that fence and, you know, get Tech back in a position to where this could be a bowl game that Tech goes to, you know, not on a regular basis, but more often they have in years past?
Well, I certainly think Louisiana Tech was the number one reason why a secondary agreement with Conference USA made sense for the Independence Bowl. As I said, teams like North Texas, Southern Miss certainly make sense as well. But no team makes as much sense on a year-by-year basis than Louisiana Tech. And I would definitely say that between or among officials from both sides, this is just my opinion. I don't think there's any bad blood. That is still there, and I'm not sure how much bad blood really was there to begin with, you know, in terms of people that would still be affiliated with both sides. So that's not an issue, in my opinion. I think Louisiana Tech would certainly make sense. They're not going to probably produce as many hotel rooms for the city as a Southern Miss or a North Texas matchup, but I would definitely think your walk-up crowd would be greater. I think the ancillary events would be greater because attendance to those, you know, the pregame concert, tailgating, all that stuff would make more sense just because people are within driving distance. So there are certainly some great things that come along with Louisiana Tech being involved.
Yeah, Roy, you mentioned, you know, obviously the scenarios that could lock Tech out of the Independence Bowl if a Florida State comes and someone like Lane Kiffin and FAU decide to fill that slot. If not the Independence Bowl, do you think Tech – land somewhere else, or do they get locked out altogether?
I mean, I think both are certainly possible, especially, you know, there's the problem is the thing that's hurting Louisiana Tech is someone in Conference USA is going to get locked out. With how the teams have qualified, and since they have a glutton of teams with 10, somebody at the end is going to get locked out because the Power 5, you know, the Pac-12 is going to have more than they need. So obviously a Power 5 team is going to get a wild card slot in the bowl before, you know, Louisiana Tech would get one. And with only six agreements, seven if you count the secondary agreement for Conference USA, that means that three Conference USA teams would need wild cards. So the numbers are tough. You know, New Orleans would be another place that would make sense for the bowl and for Louisiana Tech. Outside of that, you know, it's rolling the dice. I definitely, you know, I think Louisiana Tech's best chance is certainly Shreveport. In my opinion, their best chance is Shreveport. One, because, you know, you would assume that would mean New Orleans was locked up by another Conference USA team. So if they don't make Shreveport, then I think there's trouble.
And Roy, looking at the eyeball from a broad perspective, you know, Sutton and I both grew up in Shreveport. We grew up going to the eyeball year in and year out. We've seen, you know, numerous things. You look back to the days of the Battle Wings. I know the Mudbugs left for a while. The Captains have been gone for quite a while. Just from your point of view, what really prevents Shreveport from becoming, you know, that unique sports town that most, you know, Shreveport sports fans would like for it to become?
I think economics is number one. You look at the Caddo and Bossier parishes is roughly around 350,000 population. But, you know, if you look at the economics and average income and stuff like that, you know, you almost slice that number in half to people that have, you know, dispensable income to go to sporting events like that. So I think it's a lot smaller than maybe the population says. You know, it can be a good sports town, but here's the thing with Shreveport that I've learned in 17 years of being here. We have big visions for what we want to be, but there's not enough people that are willing to do what it takes to have those big visions. And then when we focus on something that might be Shreveport size, we're not happy with it. So I think there's some complacency, and there's just not enough people that want to make it happen.
Yeah, Roy, I think you nailed it on the head when you said, you know, the desire's got to be there, and the powers that be don't always come through in that way. Talking about the average sports fan, if a team like Louisiana Tech does end up in the Independence Bowl, you mentioned earlier the walk-up crowd. I know we've been looking at some rough crowds here at Joe I.A. Stadium over the past couple of weeks. Do you feel like that, let's say, a bigger ACC school or a Power 5 school comes in to play a Louisiana Tech, do we get 45,000 people in the stands at Independence Stadium, or is that something that we just can go ahead and assume will never happen again?
Yeah, I would think 45,000 is a pipe dream. I mean, I just go back to the day when Miami came in, went in 37 of their last 38 and played Louisiana Tech, and it wasn't a sellout before the season. Miami's also come for the Independence Bowl. That didn't sell out or anywhere near a sellout. I don't know. There's a lot of things that people could do. I always hear that the timing is wrong. You know, we're 2 days after Christmas. It's during the middle of the day. Some people, you know, have to work, obviously, so that's a legitimate reason. Who knows what the weather's going to be like? I just think, well, I would love, you know, an FSU. Let's say it's an FSU Louisiana Tech. While you would love to think that's going to bring 45,000 people in, I want to see it. But I'm certainly not going to spend my hard-earned money betting on that. I'll promise you that.
Well, and you mentioned, you know, potentially a Florida State versus Louisiana Tech. It might be a pipe dream at this point. But from the eyeballs perspective, with what you know, would that be the ideal dream matchup, per se?
I think in some ways it would be. I think on a national scale, maybe in terms of exposure, I think an FSU-FAU would probably be the absolute best. Because, I mean, Lane Kiffin, I mean, with what he's done down there, it's incredible. He's a guy that draws attention. And then you got FAU playing Florida State, little brother, big brother type thing. I think on a national scale, that would draw some really good numbers, ratings-wise and stuff like that. Now, would that draw people in the seats? Probably not. I think it's crazy to say, but I think a Louisiana Tech, Duke, for instance, would grab more people in the stands than perhaps an FSU-FAU thing. But you think about the sponsor, you know, do you want more people in the seats? Do you want a better TV rating? Considering it's walk-ons, I don't think they mind a regional matchup. While they'll love the TV exposure because they're expanding rapidly, I don't think they certainly wouldn't be unhappy with someone like Louisiana Tech or Southern Miss, where they are going, where they are building restaurants and stuff like that.
Yeah, you mentioned walk-ons. Those are actually going to be my next question. This is a bowl game that's seen just about a new sponsor every year. I know there was a point there when it was the Duck Commander Independence Bowl, which it doesn't get much bigger than that, and of course that didn't last very long. Do you see walk-ons being a sponsor that sticks around for a little longer than maybe just 1 year, or are they kind of a flash in the pan as well?
Well, you're locked in for 3 years, so that's good. Whereas Camping World was 2 years and they had an out after 2 years, the Duck Commander was just a disaster. Never saw a dime from them. So the thing I like about walk-ons is they are a company on the way up. They are a regional company. So that is perfect for the Independence Bowl blueprint. This is just speculation, maybe they didn't get as much money as they would have as a bigger national sponsor, but they got 3 years guaranteed. Walk-ons loves all the markets that would possibly be involved because they're going from 20 stores to 100 stores here in the next couple of years. So I think it's a good fit. I mean, you just never know. But I think this is the best fit because it's regional. I love the 3-year guarantee deal because it gives you some time to build the relationship, get the exposure. So I think everybody's happy right now. The Independence Bowl, as we were just talking about with Shreveport sports mindset, I think this is what the Independence Bowl needs. And I wrote a column last year saying, I think the SEC is just too much for the Eye Bowl because, number one, you look at where we're at in the selection order, you're 11th, so the odds of you getting an SEC team are about 20% from year to year. So why don't we just focus on a regional matchup, get a regional sponsor. You can make the payments to those teams lower, and I think it's better for everybody. And that could happen when the contracts end in 2019. But, I think Shreveport can keep its bowl. It just has to play on its own level. And I think the SEC might be a little too much.
Roy, great stuff as always. Hey, before we let you go, we want to know your prediction. Who do you think, if you had to chalk it up, plays in the Independence Bowl on December 27th?
God, I've been saying Louisiana Tech and either Virginia Tech or Duke, but that ACC really threw a monkey wrench into everything. I'm going. Well, I'm not picking FSU probably because I don't want to jinx it. So I'm going to go Duke and either Tech or Southern Miss.
Love it. Thank you, Roy, so much. Have a great night. Roy Lang, sports editor of the Shreveport Times. Always a pleasure talking to him. And Independence Bowl, obviously the dream destination for Louisiana Tech. But will it happen? Who knows?
Yeah, some really good stuff for Roy. He has a lot of firsthand knowledge over there in the Shreveport area. He's great at what he does. Big game, Roy Lang. It's always a pleasure to have him on.
Yeah, when we get back, we're going to spin around the coaching carousel a little bit. I know lots of crazy stuff happening. We'll talk about the Tennessee situation a little bit and maybe hit on some Tech recruiting in this early signing period. So stay with us on Bleed Tech Blue Radio 97.7. We'll be right back.
Feed a big hunger on a small budget with the new menu at Scott's Catfish and Seafood. 9 full meals under $10. Every Tuesday night, buy one burger po' boy or quesadilla, get another burger po' boy or quesadilla at half price. Cool weather's a great time for gumbo and etouffee. And don't forget the catfish and shrimp lunch buffet. No time to dine in? Use the drive-thru and get a family meal starting at $16.99 at Scott's Catfish and Seafood.
Down home cooking from Scott's tonight.
Ruston, West Monroe.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
For years, serious hunters around here have gotten close to that big buck on a Bad Boy Buggy from Fairway Carts in Minden. Well, Bad Boy Buggy has a new name, Textron Off-Road, still committed to providing the same power, range, and stealth you demand. Textron Off-Road side-by-sides are whisper quiet, have plenty of distance for wherever you hunt, excellent steering, and deliver a great ride. Hey, you just need to come test ride one to see for yourself. And you can count on Fairway Carts to have the selection you want and always make you a great deal. 2018 models are rolling in, so remaining 17s are priced to move with big rebates and low-interest financing with approved credit. Talk with Larry about a sweet Fairway Carts deal on the one you want most and find out how much you'll save. All the reasons you want a Bad Boy Buggy now wrapped up in a new name, Textron Off-Road. Trailer yours home from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 800-960-CART or go to fairwaycarts.net.
Want to find out stuff about Tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I am Ben Carlisle, your host, joined by Sutton Davison. The college football coaching carousel is in full swing. Everyone around the country is going insane. But before we get to the college football coaching carousel, let's go straight to the Fairway Carts hotline, where we're joined by Bill. How you doing tonight, Bill?
Doing fine. While I was listening to the conversation about Tech postseason bowl game, a friend of mine from SMU texts me, and he tells me that the big talk over at SMU is there's some discussion out here about Tech and SMU and the Frisco Bowl. So I just thought I'd call and see what you think about that.
Yeah, Bill, that's a scenario that I heard today. I know that Frisco Bowl is formerly the Miami Beach Bowl in Florida that shifted over to
The new Cowboys complex?
I'm not sure where the game's being played. I think it might be at the soccer stadium, actually. But the bowl game be played in Frisco. I think if Tech did end up in Frisco, that'd be a pretty good landing spot for the Dogs as well.
Yeah, regional matchup that would allow both teams to travel really well. Obviously, SMU is a DFW local team, and it's an easy shoot on I-20 over to Dallas from or Frisco from Ruston. So they would be well attended, and that would be a really cool matchup against two pretty storied programs.
Sure.
Thanks for calling, Bill.
All right. Thanks very much. Have a good night.
Absolutely, man. You too. Hey, Ben, you mentioned the coaching carousel. I know there's a lot of openings, a lot of names being tossed around everywhere. Let's hit them a little bit, talk about some potential candidates, and kind of maybe break some stories that not a lot of people know about.
Yeah, first I just want to talk about the few jobs that have been filled to this point. You look at UCLA, I think they've probably made the best hire to this point, picking up Chip Kelly, who spent a little time in the NFL with the Philadelphia Eagles and the Sets for –
I don't know if he's my favorite hire, but
he can coach offensive football. He had Oregon in the playoff.
You're right. He's a college coach.
Great
he's
college coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's built for the college game for sure. But LaMichael James ain't walking through that door in Los Angeles.
LeGarrette Blount ain't walking through that door.
Absolutely.
Or punching through that door.
Absolutely. Ole Miss, they stayed in-house, named interim coach Matt Luke, an Ole Miss alum, to be their head coach after a big Egg Bowl victory over Mississippi State.
But you think that could be with ulterior motives a little bit?
Yeah, I think a little bit. When you look at the recruiting, maybe the bowl sanctions coming down on Ole Miss for all the trouble that Hugh Freeze has them in, I think those punishments are expected to come down here pretty soon.
Better to not make a lot of waves before that.
Yeah, but nonetheless, you have to be happy for the guy.
Absolutely.
I mean, Ole Miss was terrible on defense. They had Shea Patterson at quarterback gets hurt midway through the year. He ends up going 6-6 and knocks off the Rebels' biggest rival. Give him the job, let him see what he can do. Maybe he turns into a Dabo Swinney type. Crazier things have happened.
Yeah, there's nothing like being named the head coach at your alma mater. So good for Matt Luke, no longer the interim, and hopefully he brings that program out of the cellar a little bit.
Yeah, and a pretty big bombshell that dropped yesterday. Dan Mullen leaves Mississippi State, heads back to Gainesville, where he was the former offensive coordinator at Florida. He'll take over a struggling Gators program after they let go of Jim McElwain earlier this year.
Dan Mullen can absolutely coach. The guy's got a resume longer than a receipt from Raising Cane's.
Now, Raising Cane's receipts are pretty long, but let's talk about his resume. You talk about the quarterbacks he's coached, Alex Smith at Utah, Chris Leak to a national championship, Tim Tebow to a national championship, and a Heisman Trophy. Dak Prescott will have a statue outside Davis Wade Stadium. And what he's done with Nick Fitzgerald, a little recruited quarterback out of Georgia, Fitzgerald will go down as one of the best in Mississippi State history. So if I'm a Gator fan, I'm feeling pretty good tonight. And if I'm a Mississippi State fan, I'm pretty upset.
Yeah, Chris Leak. I mean, you mean Chris from State Farm is who I'm thinking about. He's an insurance salesman that was coached – to a national championship by Dan Mullen. So that's a great hire from Florida.
And one more thing, and I wasn't going to go on this tangent, but I just have to.
I love BC rants.
Mississippi State, granted, they've had some good years with Dak Prescott and Nick Fitzgerald. They've really, brought their program to heights they haven't seen. Let's not forget that 10 years ago, Sylvester Croom was manning the sidelines for the Bulldogs, and they were terrible. I think Mississippi State fans are getting a little ahead of themselves when they start to say that they're going to get some of the top names in college football. That's probably the 10th best job in the SEC. The success that Dan Mullen has brought that program to is heights it's never seen. You look at 5 weeks ranked number one in the country with Dak Prescott. Dan Mullen could flat-out coach. He had his deficiencies, but Mississippi State fans need to be careful before they say it's easy to let go of Dan Mullen.
Yeah, Sylvester Croom came into Ruston and lost to Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, Taylor Bennett.
Yeah, Taylor Bennett, the
Georgia Tech transfer.
Exactly. So, I know one name I heard from Mississippi State is Jeremy Pruitt, the D coordinator from Alabama.
I think he has interviewed as long as Brent Venables from Clemson defensive
Absolutely.
Coordinator.
You know where I remember Jeremy Pruitt from is the show, the Hoover Show, the football show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He was one of their assistants at Hoover. He's
come a long way.
He's on a meteoric rise. If he were to land a head coaching job, that would be
And one other
massive.
Interesting name that I've seen, I don't know if he'll get an interview, but Manny Diaz, I think he's ready for a head coaching job.
I don't know if I agree with that. That dude is,
he can coach some defense.
You know, he's been living in apartments for the past 6 years because he can't pay, he can't nail down a house anywhere.
Well, that's true. Looking elsewhere, Nebraska, the Black Shirts, didn't exactly have the best defense in the country. They let go of Mike Riley. A candidate for that job is pretty obvious.
Yeah, Scott Frost, the Central Florida head coach, had an amazing season, turning that program around from a winless team 2 years ago to being a potential top four bowl type of team, undefeated this year. And he is also a Nebraska alum. So
yeah,
another situation.
I think that's just a fit that, like,
mutual,
it doesn't need to be talked about.
Yeah, it's a foregone conclusion. If both sides can come to an agreement, he will probably be the next head coach at Nebraska.
Call him the next Tom Osborne, for as far as I'm concerned.
Call him the next Bo Pelini.
Yeah, fake Bo Pelini on Twitter's the best follow out there.
Who's the guy? Oh, Caldwell went to the Raiders after coaching Nebraska.
Bill Callahan.
Yeah, that was a failed attempt at being an NFL coach.
Oregon State has a job opening. They're out in the Pac-12. They're pretty terrible. You know, as far as candidates for that job, there aren't many because not many want that job. Looking at Arizona State, I know I heard Fox talking on the sports company this afternoon. Just let me tell you who the leading candidate is for Arizona State. Herm Edwards, you play to win the game.
That guy can coach, and he can also host an ESPN show.
Sean also said that Herm is planning on keeping the entire coaching staff on board. How often do you see that?
That tells me one thing. He's not going to be coaching much. He'll be there to be a rah-rah guy and just doesn't want to make a lot of waves but wants to get back in the game.
Absolutely.
Let's spin it over to
let's talk Tennessee.
Oh gosh, let's talk Tennessee.
Tennessee has an agreement late Saturday night, early Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon with Greg Schiano, and then John Curry, Tennessee athletic director. I'm not sure what he was thinking, but the fan base turns on him in a massive, disastrous way, and the addendum they had signed is broken off.
Yep.
Let's just say Greg Schiano's staying put at Ohio State.
Well, let's kind of go through a quick series of events. So Greg Schiano, you know, the D coordinator at Ohio State, agrees in principle to become the head coach. Like you said, sign a memorandum of understanding. Basically a written agreement saying, we're calling off our search. You're our guy. Don't go get any other jobs. We want you. But it's not a contract. They did not sign the contract. It was a written agreement, which, I mean, in America today, you never know what's a real written agreement and what's not. So that's where the trouble lies, I think. But anyway, immediately, full-blown protests come from personalities like Clay Travis, who we all know about.
Yeah.
And then White House press secretary comes out and says that Schiano knew about the Jerry Sandusky scandal when he was at Penn State. And
folks, helped, you can't make this up.
And helped cover it up. So she's bringing out all of the
which
skeletons.
Is not a fact, by the way.
Not a fact, but here's the thing I've learned about things like that.
It doesn't matter.
If you get accused of being involved in something like that, you're done for. It doesn't matter
completely
if you did
agree.
It or not. It doesn't matter if you were ever 100 miles from that place. If your name comes out in involvement with that, you're done for. So after that, Tennessee fans go insane. I know our producer, John Tabor, is a Monday Night Raw fanatic. He said no one on Monday Night Raw was paying attention to the fight. They were just yelling to fire Curry, the AD, because Monday Night Raw was in Knoxville the other night.
It just doesn't get any better than this. And then you look, you know, Tennessee, we'll make the safe hire. We'll call David Cutcliffe at Duke.
Wow.
He'll come back home he'll lead us as his career wraps up. He says, I'm good. I'll stay with Mike Krzyzewski's Duke Blue Devils.
I wouldn't touch this situation with a 40-foot pole. And then this is even better. Lane Kiffin, the king of all trolling, shows up a couple minutes late to a team meeting at Florida Atlantic. His players ask him why he was late, and he says, I quote, sorry, guys, just hopped off the phone with Tennessee. Obviously kidding. But everyone's making a big old joke of this Tennessee situation.
And who knows who ends up at Tennessee. We were talking about it before the show. USC offensive coordinator, former Tennessee quarterback T. Martin has been mentioned. I'm not sure why he'd want to leave USC other than going home
alma mater,
to his alma mater and possibly leading the program back. But I know they interviewed Mike Gundy, Oklahoma State head coach, today in Dallas. So who knows if he just wants more money from the Cowboys. I just can't see this ending well for the Volunteers.
Yeah, it's a mess for sure. Couple more spots on the coaching carousel before we get to a break. Nebraska, we talked about Nebraska. This is interesting.
Arkansas
obviously lets go of Brett Bielema on the field after they lost their season finale to Mizzou the other
Nothing
day.
Nothing compared to Tennessee.
Seriously. Arkansas, I don't understand. First of all, I don't understand why a guy like Brett Bielema leaves Wisconsin, a perennial top 10 program in the country, after winning three straight Rose Bowls just to go to the 12th best team in the SEC. I just don't understand the fascination with the SEC to the degree of, let me pick up my life just to say I'm an SEC head coach. Is that what it is?
Means more in the SEC. Like, it just means you can lose more to Saban.
But is it just for the sheer purpose of saying, I am a coach in the SEC? Is that why guys are doing this?
I'll be honest with you. I love Big 12 football. I love offensive football. I love watching, SEC games week in and week out. I think that's what it boils down to. It's
all status.
Yeah, it is. It's saying that you got to that premier league in the country, which probably isn't the premier league this year, but for the last 10 years, the SEC has reigned supreme.
I know I've heard Brent Venables' name thrown out there as well as Mike Norvell, the Memphis head coach. One more quick funny one before we go to break. UTEP is interviewing former Texas Tech quarterback, current North Texas offensive coordinator Graham Harrell, for their head coaching job.
I know it's windy a lot at UTEP, and in the Sun Bowl it's difficult to throw it, but Graham Harrell's going to want to sling around the football. And who knows? Maybe he can make something of that program. They definitely need some life injected in there.
Maybe he can get his old buddy from the quarterback room, old Brett Favre, to come coach with him.
Absolutely.
Anyway, before we get to our 7 o'clock segment, we're going to take a quick break. So hold on tight. More Bleed Tech Blue Radio coming at you on Sports Talk 97.7. Stay with us.
Walpole Tire and Service has been a proud Tech supporter for over 60 years. When the Bulldogs hit the field this weekend, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the knowledgeable staff at Walpole get you safely to and from the game with brake repair, alignments, and computer diagnostics. Plus, all your major brands of tires, including Michelin and BF Goodrich. Walpole Tire and Service Superstores, a name you can trust. Ruston, West Monroe. Or visit walpoletire.com.
The Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show is brought to you in part by O'Neill Gas. O'Neill Gas offers propane delivery to homes and businesses throughout North Louisiana. For more information, go to O'NeillGas.com.
You cheer for your team. You root for your team. You live for your team. You're a Louisiana Tech fan. Your Louisiana Tech Dairy Queen restaurants in Monroe, West Monroe, Ruston, Bossier City, and Shreveport invite you to try our fan food favorites. Locally owned and operated by Louisiana Tech alumni, Dairy Queen is proud of all Louisiana Tech athletes. Come by one of our locations and support the businesses who support Louisiana Tech. Dairy Queen, fan food, not fast food.
Yep, it's hunting season, and you think it's too late to get that new deer stand. Hey, at Ideal Portable Buildings and Trailer Sales, it's never too late. Get a custom-built box stand from Ideal, exactly like you want it, and get a real good price on it, too. Plus, Ideal has the right utility trailer for any hauling you need to do. Haul it, cover it, or store it. Ideal Portable Buildings and Trailer Sales. 699-9426. 699-9426.
Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm your host, Ben Carlisle. Louisiana Tech picked up a huge victory over UTSA 20-6 to become bowl eligible, and the Dawgs also picked up a huge commitment from linebacker Brandon Floyd from Trinity Valley Community College on Sunday morning. Floyd is expected to come in and compete right away for playing time at linebacker, a spot that Tech has really struggled at in years past, and quite frankly, a little bit this year. But we just wanted to take a quick, couple minutes, take some time, talk a little bit about Tech's commitment list. Currently, Tech has 13 commits. They're wrapping it up. The early signing period starts on December the 20th. So I think you could expect to see the Dogs sign about, 70-75% of their class. It'll be interesting to see how this impacts Tech. Kind of your thoughts on the early signing period.
Well, first of all, it's fun to see pick up a commit in the last game of the season, one that was really poorly attended. It helps me sleep a little better at night knowing that guys aren't going to leave necessarily because of attendance, but they just want to win. And if a program wins, they're in. So I'm not saying let's not fill up the Joe, but it's encouraging to have guys that don't care as much about the spotlight and just want to win.
Yeah, and looking up and down this Tech commit class, it's filled with defensive backs, running backs, wide receivers, and athletes. I think it's no secret Tech's not losing a whole lot up front on either side of the ball. With Josh Outlaw graduates, Dwight Stallworth graduates on the offensive line, but Tech's got two young offensive linemen coming in, and Byron Rossell out of West Memphis in Arkansas, and Christian Henderson, another offensive lineman out of Mississippi. So those two guys are coming in. Tech possibly could pick up a JUCO lineman who could come in and contribute. But defensive line spot outside of DJ Jackson out of the Mesquite area, I think, Tech's going to stand pat with where they are on the offensive and defensive lines.
What do you know about the quarterback from Missouri City, Texas, the three-star Allen?
Yeah, Aaron Allen, he's a kid. He's extremely talented. He was the district player of the year. If you join us at BleedTechBlue.com for $9.95 a month, we've caught up with, I'd say 10 out of Tech's 13 commits. Kind of got their thoughts on the Tech season, where the coaches really have them fitting in next year. Allen's a dual-threat guy who can drop back and sling it. Probably similar to Jamar Smith from an athletic standpoint. I'm excited to see what he can do. I know Coach Holtz and his staff are out on the trail recruiting right now, so hopefully they can nail down these commits and get many of these guys signed when that early signing period opens up. But that's about all I wanted to share on football recruiting.
And look, if you want to know more about Tech's early signing period and these recruits, there's no better place to do that than on our board at BleedTechBlue.com. We've got new updates about recruits coming
nearly
in
every day.
And interviews with those guys that you won't find anywhere else. So join us at BleedTechBlue.com for that. Let's move a little bit to the matchup I think we're all pretty excited about this week. Tomorrow night, Louisiana Tech men's basketball travels to Alabama, Tuscaloosa, 7 o'clock p.m. tip on SEC Network to face the number 24 Crimson Tide. I know they're a team that's off to a hot start, one of the best programs in the country, most improved in the country so far. Avery Johnson's got them playing amazing basketball, and it's mostly because of their star freshman.
Yeah, what a job Avery Johnson is doing with this program. You look at what Colin Sexton's doing at point guard. Alabama got into, we'll call it an altercation with Minnesota the other day in a tournament. They end up finishing the game 3-on-5.
10 minutes of 3-on-5.
Yeah,
that's all they had left.
Yeah, that's all the players they had left after every player was ejected. I think one got hurt, maybe one fouled out. Sexton scored 40 in that game. It's going to be a tough matchup for Dede Bracey and Jalen Harris tomorrow night. I think you might could see Jacoby Boykins guard him.
Yeah, what do you do when you're left with three guys against five? Do you just play street ball, or do you just shoot threes, or do you just swinging around the key? I mean, whatever they did, Alabama was able to outscore Minnesota in those last 10 minutes, down two players, which is remarkable. So this is not a team to – this is not an old Alabama basketball team. This is a new team there.
And they're very young.
Very young. Colin Sexton, a true freshman, averaging 25 points a game, which is absurd.
Yeah, he'll be a lottery pick next year.
No question. He's gone. He'll be in the NBA playing next year. Easy. Lottery pick. And then you mentioned Sexton. He's not the only star freshman on that team. John Petty, freshman guard, averaging 14 a game himself. Interesting here, he rolled an ankle in that Minnesota game. He was one of the guys you mentioned that went out with injury. So he is a game time decision for tomorrow night. Avery Johnson said he did not practice today, but will decide tomorrow whether he's going to start or come off the bench or just sit altogether.
Yeah, and talking about Petty a little bit, granted it was Alabama A&M, blah, blah, blah. The kid knocked down 10 of 13 threes against Alabama A&M. He can really shoot the rock. He's shooting 43% from three. Colin Sexton's shooting 48% from three. And Sutton, we've mentioned Sexton and Petty, but I got to tell you, here's a name to watch for. Little Avery Johnson Jr.
Is he on the squad?
Yeah, playing a little daddy ball in Tuscaloosa.
Hey, the greats do it. Calipari, Krzyzewski, they all do it.
Yeah, he's contributing. He's playing 15 minutes a night. So I think it's
– How tall is he?
Oh, 5'11". Taller than his dad.
Taller than his dad, no doubt.
And his dad made a nice career. But, yeah, Tech's in for a tall task on, Wednesday night, tomorrow night, when they face a quality, quality team in Alabama. I'm excited to see how Tech's going to fare because they're just such a good, well-coached team.
Discipline.
And Tech's faced some quality opponents, Evansville, George Mason, Southeast Missouri State was a good game
team
in the TAC a couple of weeks ago. So it'll be interesting to see how Tech fares in their first true road game.
Yeah, and you mentioned that Alabama's shooting the lights out from three. I know that we've seen this in the past. The Tech teams are usually not really, that great against teams that shoot that well. I know we've seen it in the conference championship game a couple of years. Teams like Marshall and UAB come out and just shoot the lights out, and it's over before it starts. And so I think it's important for Tech to defend well beyond the arc and limit the amount of threes that those guys are able to shoot uncontested. What do you feel like is the key for Tech and possibly sneaking out a win against a top 25 team
on
the road?
Tech's obviously going to have to slow down Sexton and Petty if he plays. That's going to fall on Boykins and Harris. They're going to have to play two of their best two-way games they've played all year. One thing that I think Tech does have an advantage, Alabama's do everything sophomore forward, 6'8", Braxton Key is expected to be out for this game. He's recovering from an injury. I know he has resumed practicing, but he'll be out. So hopefully Janiah White inside can alter shots throughout the night. And who knows, if Jacoby Boykins goes in there, knocks down six or seven threes, maybe Tech can squeak out a victory, but Tech's going to have to shoot the ball well.
Yeah, we've got three guys in that starting Tech lineup that shoot really, really well. And I know Day-Day Bracey, we've talked about how well he gets to the bucket and how good of a finisher he's really becoming, looking like Kyrie Irving out there a lot of nights.
But call him Kyrie.
I think it's important for Jalen and Jacoby. What are we going to call them? We got the factory. What are Jalen? Oh, Jalen and Jacoby. Isn't that a show on SportsCenter or something?
Yeah, it is. It is. The greatest show running on ESPN.
Yeah, keeping them afloat over there. Jalen and Jacoby, they're going to have to shoot really well, and they're going to have to play disciplined, two-way basketball.
Well,
and
I think one thing that plays in Tech's favor, it's still football season in Tuscaloosa. So
very true.
It shouldn't be, a raucous crowd. Granted, they are much improved, ranked in the top 25.
Is there to do in Tuscaloosa on a Wednesday night?
You could,
go to church.
Go eat you a burger. But just one more thing. Tech's playing really well, and Tech's going to have to limit the turnovers. And if they can limit the turnovers, I give them a shot, but it's going to be a tough game tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm excited, though. I'm excited to see Tech get on national TV, even if it is SEC Network. And Tech's receiving votes themselves in the top 25. I think they got five votes in the coaches poll this week.
And so if we win this game, who knows?
Could crack the top 25, which would be huge. And I know this isn't a make-or-break game for this team. It does go a long way in looking down the road in non-conference, RPI and things like that. But more so than that, I think it propels them home for a couple of big games against teams like SFA and ULL in the next couple of weeks, teams that are rivals for the Louisiana Tech and teams that have come in and played really tough in the TAC.
Yeah, and tip-off again is set for 7 p.m. tomorrow night. I think that's on the SEC Network Plus. So you should be able to stream that game if you have the right provider. But When we get back, we're going to wrap up the show. It's certainly been a fun one tonight. And we'll kind of talk a little bit more about Tech's bowl hopes. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank, banking on a first-name basis. Uncommon, people, service, and convenience. Uncommon, dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank, beyond banking, with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank, the uncommon bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Feed a big hunger on a small budget with the new menu at Scott's Catfish and Seafood. 9 full meals under $10. Every Tuesday night, buy one burger po' boy or quesadilla, get another burger po' boy or quesadilla at half price. Cool weather's a great time for gumbo and etouffee. And don't forget the catfish and shrimp lunch buffet. No time to dine in? Use the drive-thru and get a family meal starting at $16.99 at Scott's Catfish and Seafood.
Down home cooking from Scott's tonight.
Ruston, West Monroe.
For years, serious hunters around here have gotten close to that big buck on a Bad Boy Buggy from Fairway Carts in Minden. Well, Bad Boy Buggy has a new name. Textron Off-Road, still committed to providing the same power, range, and stealth you demand. Textron Off-Road side-by-sides are whisper quiet, have plenty of distance for wherever you hunt, excellent steering, and deliver a great ride. Hey, you just need to come test ride one to see for yourself. And you can count on Fairway Carts to have the selection you want and always make you a great deal. 2018 models are rolling in, so remaining 17s are priced to move with big rebates and low interest financing with approved credit. Talk with Larry about a sweet Fairway Carts deal on the one you want most and find out how much you'll save. All the reasons you want a Bad Boy Buggy now wrapped up in a new name, Textron Off-Road. Trailer yours home from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 800-960-CART or go to fairwaycarts.net.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Final segment here tonight. As we just mentioned, would love to hear your thoughts on anything we've talked about tonight. Tech football, Tech basketball, the coaching carousel, the situation at Tennessee, Tech's bowl hopes, any of that, call us on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762. Want to talk a little bit, this is interesting, Louisiana Tech released these numbers today, talking about bowl projection type scenarios and where they sit in Conference USA in relation to other teams, because there will be a couple of teams left out. I think right now there are 78 bowl spots, including the college football playoff semifinal, so that takes away two more of those. So 76 bowls for 79 teams. Excuse me, 76 spots for 79 teams. And then there's three games still to play, and three of those teams have five wins, so they can get to six.
Four teams could possibly be left at home.
Yeah, so four teams could be left without a place to play.
And it'll be 6-6 teams.
And it'll be someone from Conference USA.
Yeah, I think without a doubt you're going to see, when you look at UTSA, Tech, Western Kentucky, and Middle Tennessee, all four of those schools finished at 6-6. So I wouldn't be surprised to see two of them left at home.
Yeah, here's an interesting stat. Three of those teams, you mentioned three other teams besides Tech have six wins, UTSA, Middle Tennessee State, and Western Kentucky. Tech has beat two of those teams head-to-head this year in Western Kentucky and UTSA. So right there, that helps a little bit.
You know, and I'll mention real quick,
Tommy
McClellan met with the media today, and I asked him that exact question. Does it matter if you beat some of those six-win teams head-to-head? And he said it does carry some weight, but ultimately a lot of what bowl committees are looking at this point are, you know, how many
regional
tickets
matchup,
you're going to sell.
Exactly.
What kind of TV ratings you're going to produce, and really, you know, all that stuff, because at the end of the day, these bowl games, they want to make as much money as they can, and rightfully so.
Well, you mentioned that, and this, I mean, this is a great little stat. Tech is the only Conference USA team that has sold enough bowl tickets in the past 3 years to even meet the revenue threshold that the conference has. So they're the only fans in the conference that has shown that they'll travel to a bowl game.
Well, and I went to the Heart of Dallas Bowl in 2014, and I bet
it was
there's
a great environment.
Oh, I bet there's 15,000 Tech fans there. Yeah. It was awesome. Tech fans show up for bowl games. I can't. You're not going to hear an argument from me on that one. I think if Tech ends up in Shreveport, Roy Lang said there might not be 45,000, but
there could be 30.
If you get a quality opponent like Florida State versus Tech, I think you'll see 45,000.
I wouldn't necessarily count it out, but it's going to be tough. But it is encouraging to bowl committees that Tech fans will travel. I honestly think you'll see Tech end up with a bowl. But a couple of big questions before we wrap up the show. I know this is kind of our new tradition for the last segment, is asking some tough questions. So the first thing I want to ask you, kind of along the lines of Conference USA and things like that, moving to basketball, though, is it possible that we see Conference USA become a two-bid league come tournament time? I know Western Kentucky's started fast, just like Tech. And is it possible that we see two CUSA teams get in to the big dance?
If Conference USA teams continue to impress in the non-conference,
the
slate,
top of the league is as good as any other.
Yeah, Rick Stansbury's doing an exceptional job at Western Kentucky. They picked up wins over Purdue and SMU last week. ODU is having one heck of a year. They're good perennially. They've beat Indiana State, a good Indiana State team that actually has former Tech player Kedar Davis on their roster. They also knocked off Dayton, who for the last few years they've been an Elite Eight team a couple of times. So the league is really playing well, and Tech remains the only undefeated team. But if things continue to trend in the right direction, I think you could possibly see Conference USA get two bids into the NCAA tournament.
Do you think that comes by way of an at-large bid, or do you think Conference USA becomes a two-bid league?
I think you're going to see, obviously the automatic qualifier.
Right.
And then you'll see maybe one at-large team. I think the best way will be for the best team to be the at-large team and somebody else pick up that automatic
Absolutely.
Spot. But that's usually the case. We've seen it. Middle Tennessee's good again this year. Coach Davis does a great job up there. Kermit Davis, he does an exceptional job. Giddy Potts can shoot the three.
Yeah, absolutely. Moving over to the coaching carousel, we've talked a lot about that today. Is there any kind of crazy coaching scenario that we've seen play out or that you could see possibly playing out that would have any kind of impact on Tech? I know Tommy McClellan said today at his press conference he doesn't expect Skip Holtz to move anywhere. He doesn't expect to go anywhere himself. It'll be more the same next year on the coaching front for Louisiana Tech football. But any assistants that you see moving around as a result?
I mean, there's obviously always that possibility. Skip Holtz has done such a great job at Tech in his 5 years. I know many Tech folks were disappointed with the 6-6 season.
That's a good sign.
And none more than Skip Holtz. But when's the last time Tech's qualified for four straight bowls? Never.
Never. That's what those programs hanging their hat on right now, is those four straight bowl games, and obviously assuming we make one this year. But that's a great little recruiting point for this program.
Yeah, and, I'm not here to start any rumors, but I think, one team to watch for, I think East Carolina has a head coach opening. Skip Holtz used to be the head coach at East Carolina.
They could have a little crush on him.
If Skip's, tired of being in Ruston, whatever it may be. I don't think he is by any means. I think he's very happy in Ruston. I think he's very satisfied with the program he has built. But that's not to say that East Carolina won't come after him and try to kind of bring one of their own back home to lead their struggling program. So that's, for me, a dark horse team to, maybe watch for. I don't think it's anything that will end up happening, but crazier things have happened.
Absolutely. That's a good take there on the East Carolina job. I don't know that we'll see it happen, but those coaches really love to go after, guys that were there at one time. It's kind of become a new trend in college football.
Yeah, and with Tech not having a game coming up this week, kind of to look ahead a little bit to the offseason, looking to 2018, we've seen Jamar Smith. He's now made 13 career starts. He clearly has the talent to be a rock star, like Coach Holtz has mentioned many a times. Do you see him heading into the spring as the guy at quarterback, or, potentially internally a guy like Weston Elliott, Elijah Walker, or maybe externally a guy brought in potentially as a fifth-year grad transfer come in and push Jamar for the job?
Well, I think this year, going into the offseason, there was no question who the starter was going to be, and everyone knew it, and there was never a competition. It was Jamar Smith from the moment he stepped off the field at Arkansas last year. We knew it would be him this year when Ryan Higgins left. And I don't know that he's done enough to walk into this offseason with that kind of assurance.
I'm with you.
I don't know that he's done enough to secure the opening day job next year. Now, his experience is obviously valuable.
I think competition is good for
absolutely
everyone involved.
It doesn't help. I don't know that it's a great idea to walk into spring ball, knowing who the guy is. It doesn't help anybody, like you said. Now, that said, there are some talented guys in the program behind him. I know Weston Elliott is a guy from Blinn Junior College that has a big arm and that can, you know, we saw him make a couple plays at the end of a couple of games this year.
I think the most important factor of the offseason is, and I love Jamar Smith. I've talked at length all year about how much I believe in him as a quarterback and how good he's going to be, and I've even said it several times that I believe he's going to be one of the next great ones that Tech's had.
You're a Jamar homer.
I am.
See, I'm not. But to hear you say that you don't believe he's done enough is big for me because you've been in his corner all year. So what do you think?
I think the biggest thing for him is
hasn't he done enough?
I'm not going to say why he hasn't done enough, but I will say that, you know, there's throws that he's left out on the field. He'll tell you. Holtz will tell you. You know, he has to get more comfortable in the pocket.
Totally.
He has to hit, you know, he has to hit more deep balls. We've talked, you know, Tech's lacked in going deep. We've seen it the last few games, Tech's taking their shots and haven't connected. But for me, the most important thing is Jamar has to decide, does he want to play football or baseball? I just think that playing both sports and contributing significantly, especially at quarterback, being how important it is, it's just too difficult to do at the level of competition we're playing.
It's like having two full-time jobs. You can't do either one well when it gets to that point. One takes up too much of your brain, and the other one takes up the parts you need to dedicate to the other.
And you need those thousands of throws in the offseason.
Absolutely. You got to spend time developing mentally. I think that's where Jamar has a long way to go. Not that he's not smart enough to do it. I think he's plenty smart.
He's brilliant, yeah.
I think the confidence to stand in the pocket and when pressure comes – to be like a Russell Wilson type of player that will extend plays with confidence, knowing he can do it, knowing he can stand in tall and take a hit or two. I think we saw a little bit of a timid Jamar Smith at times this
absolutely
year.
Absolutely.
And I think that grows, that comes with growing and comes with maturing as a passer.
And somebody mentioned this on Bleed Tech Blue just the other day. The last quarterback that Tech had there was a sophomore that had any type of success was Luke McCown.
Right.
It's been a while.
Yeah, Tech's been a program that you just talked about has brought in a lot of guys from outside the program, upperclassmen, fifth-year grad transfers, guys with a lot of experience under their belt. Maybe not a lot of game experience, but, I mean, a guy like Jeff Driscoll, he was the number one recruit in the country.
Well, and there's something to say about being a 22-year-old redshirt junior, a 23-year-old redshirt senior. Regardless if you have game experience, just having that maturity.
Being around big-time programs.
And you've seen it so much in practice. Like, and he's still growing. I still think he's going to be that guy, but I think there needs to be some competition in the offseason.
Elijah Walker is a guy I'm excited to see, at least in spring ball. I mean, he's a guy that hasn't even put on pads yet as a Tech Bulldog. So he's a dual-threat quarterback that could do that could be really exciting. So it'll be interesting to see him and Elliott, and then also Cox, 6'8" guy from
St. Thomas More. Yeah, he has a lot of talent.
Threw 48 touchdowns his senior year. He's not a guy that you know lacks in stats either. But
and Tech's not lacking for talent at the quarterback position. They lack experience.
Who's going to be the guy?
Yeah, and I think Jamar's going to be that guy. But I think it'll be nice for him to have some competition and someone push him for that job.
Talking about Tech in the Independence Bowl, we talked to Roy Lang about it at length. I think that's what we all hope happens, is Tech gets a call from the Independence Bowl so that we can pack out Independence Stadium and have that place rocking. Now, my question for you is, if you could draw it up, what would be your dream bowl scenario, given the circumstances? Obviously, Florida State needs one more win over a team that we won't talk about.
Yeah, dream scenario for me is obviously Florida State against Tech. I'd love to see it in Shreveport. I think it'd bring a lot of buzz to the program, be a nice reward for the 17 seniors to play in their final game. Real quick before we get out of here, I know you'll be out next week. You won't be here to preview the potential bowl game that we'll know about by the time we come on next week. So your dream matchup.
Yeah, you know what? I want Tech in the Independence Bowl, no question, but I am intrigued by what Roy Lang mentioned, Florida State maybe playing Lane Kiffin's Florida Atlantic Owls. But from my selfish point of view, I would love Tech to be in the Independence Bowl, and I'm going to be different, and I'm just going to say a matchup of basketball schools, Tech versus Duke.
I love it. I love it.
I think that would be another, a program with some name recognition.